Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you. I said this last week, but I wanted to get it online. Thank you to everyone watching us online that sowed into getting this equipment and putting it in place. We couldn't have done it without you, without your generous gifts. So now we are up and running and we're ever learning how to use it even more. And so you'll see more and more things being incorporated into it. How many know that when you introduce something, sometimes it exposes another issue and problem? Like, Rich, I'm sure you understand this. When you get into a house and you're working on something and you take something off, it exposes something you didn't know that was underneath that you have to fix that too. Well, in going with this new equipment and this awesome video camera, we found out that the lighting doesn't really lend to the video, so we're trying to tweak it and do that, but we're probably going to have to end up changing some of the lighting as well to get best use out of that video equipment. And then Kelvin came up to me this morning and said, you know, we really need a second camera. I said, Lord, we just got the first one. And so I am not crawling up in that attic again and being stuffed up there by Saul like a marshmallow through a straw again. I'm not. You're going to have to find somebody else that is going to sacrifice their body to get up there to put another camera up. I think he said it just to get my reaction about having to go back up in there, but we got it up there. We got it done. I'm still sore from crawling through those rafters, and I think they're about this big. Kelvin says they're a little bit bigger, but anyways, we got it done. Just thank you again. Thank you for all those that sewed into that, and hopefully we'll be introducing. We're going to talk to some people about the lighting and different things, and we'll be talking about that later. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen? Amen. Listen, I just want to read a couple of phrases that the Holy Spirit, I like to say, downloaded into me maybe or brought up within me. I don't know. But we need to live, and this goes right along with what we were sharing, what I was kind of sharing this morning. We need to live soberly with eternity in mind. I think too many times, and then a friend of mine, and I told her I'd give her credit the first time, Lisa, this is your credit, put a phrase on her Facebook page that said, be directed, not distracted. Be directed, not distracted. You know, I take that to me personally, that means be directed by the Holy Spirit each and every day of our life. As we walk out this Christian walk, be directed by the Holy Spirit and don't be distracted by everything going on in the world, because you have an eternal destination that is secure. If you're born again, right? If you've made Jesus your Lord, your Savior, you're born again, you know where your eternal destination is. We cannot be distracted from that. We need to understand and remind ourselves every day, I have an eternal destination. And I need to be directed by the Holy Spirit that lives on inside of me and not distracted by everything else going on in life. Now, we've got to do life. We live in this earth, right? Yeah, we all have bills to pay and jobs to go to. We have friends to put up with. We have family to... or should I say family to put up with and friends to see. Is that more accurate? But listen, we cannot be distracted by the things of life. We can do life, right? But we have to keep our focus in focus. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus, our focus, in focus. Constantly. We constantly. It's like being in a ship. This is not going to go over. Gilligan's Island just ran through my mind. I don't know why. But it's like being in a ship without a compass that doesn't work. And your ship is just meandering all over the place. Right? But we need to find that true north and stay focused on that true north so that we can head in the right direction. And if you keep that mindset of eternity, that will keep you pointing in the right direction. If you understand what your final destination is, that will keep you pointed in the right direction. Amen? Amen. Don't give in to pressure. Don't quit. Don't give up. There's a lot of pressure happening right now. And I believe as, again, as we proceed towards the last of the last days, that pressure is only going to get more intense. But don't give into it. Don't quit. And don't give up. Be directed, not distracted. Amen? So this week I want to continue with what we were getting ready to get into, and that is the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. Why? Why? Why do we need to cover this? Why do we need to talk about this? Because I believe that we are in times that are going to require the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And so we have to understand what they are and how they operate and how we operate in them. But remember, I said there's a foundation we have to have in our life before those gifts can be operating in us, I believe, and that's the fruit. Right? We have to have the fruit in our life. So what are these gifts? What are these gifts and what are we to do with them? Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And this will be out of the King James. If you notice something about Jesus, he lived on the earth for, we can postulate from scholars, 30 some years before he came into his public ministry, right? But what had to happen before he started operating in power in his ministry? We're going to find out. Verse 11. Says, I indeed baptize you, this is John speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What are we witnessing here in Scripture? We are witnessing, I believe, Jesus being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because he can't give something that he didn't have. So he had to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, which is separate. We've talked about this before. Water baptism, baptism by the Holy Spirit, separate. But he did not operate in power until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he told the disciples, remember he said, go and wait. Go and wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive the Holy Spirit with power from on high, until you see power from on high. And we, the church, should have this power after we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? Turn to Acts chapter 19. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read this out of the King James. Yeah. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. You can say Holy Spirit. This is King James. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. We just read about John's baptism. He baptized in water to repentance. Amen. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. What happened when Paul laid his hands on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? They began to speak in other tongues. That's what the Word of God is talking about, and that's one of the gifts that we're going to talk about. But it says right here that in order to, or well, not in order, I'd say the evidence of the baptism of Holy Spirit is the speaking in tongues. Okay? Evidence. The evidence. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 14, and I know we're covering a lot of scripture here. And you know what happens when, you know, last week was an amazing time of ministry, wasn't it? I believe times of ministry like that are important, and they have to be Spirit-led, and they, it's something like that cannot be conjured up or forced or created. And so when we have times like that, what happens is it gives me an extra week to add to my notes. And now I've got 9 pages of notes instead of the traditional 4 or 5. So we're going to try to get through them all as quick as we can. But I want you to, I don't want to just breeze over this. I believe that these are critical gifts, these special endowments to be used by the church to bring people into the kingdom. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is going to be out of the Amplified. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 12 says, "So it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments." That's each and every one of us, right? You are eager and ambitious to possess these special endowments, aren't you? Yeah. Woo! Yes. We are excited today, Todd. Yes. You are talking about stuff that just tickles our ears. And we can't wait to get out in the community and operate in them. Because you want to see the kingdom expand, right?
Right. Yes.
Do you have a love for lost souls?
Yes.
Do you want to see people's lives changed?
Yes.
All right. "So it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will" what? "Build up the church." Build up the church. So as we move forward and look at these gifts, and we're going to look at each one of them. Again, I don't know how long we'll spend on each one of them. We're going to introduce them today. But how, I want to look at more than just the gifts, but how can we operate them, operate in them today, this day and age, to build up the church. And what do we mean by build up the church? Certainly, we mean by building us up, one another, right? We are the church, right? Say it. I am the church. So we're going to build ourselves up as we study these gifts. But also, I'm taking that as we're going to build up the church of God in the earth, by meaning we're going to bring souls into the kingdom, building up the church that way as well. So we're not only building ourselves up by edifying ourselves, we are building the church by bringing souls, lost souls, into the kingdom. Amen? One is deepening. I believe as we build ourselves up, we are deepening, right? Deepening. And then the other is expanding. As we bring souls into the kingdom, we are expanding the church in the earth, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 out of the Amplified says this: "Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments." We just read about spiritual endowments. that is gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. That's going to be important to remember. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. I believe this verse is key to understand why some individuals operate in certain gifts and others may not. It's going to be key. It's going to be key to understand that. So there are 9 varieties and distributions of gifts, and these gifts cause certain Christians to stand out as they operate in them. Amen? And the Bible says we're to seek out, right? We're to go after them. Right? We're going after these gifts. But what did that verse say? It said it was based solely on the power of divine grace operating where? In your spirit, man? No. In your soul. In your mind, will, and emotions. See, I think we tend to over-spiritualize things sometimes. And, you know, we're talking about operating in these gifts, and we'll get to the gifts in a minute. But we tend to, like, think, oh, you know, only the mighty spirit warriors of this world can operate in gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. But that's not so. It's saying by the divine grace operating in your soul. The divine grace operating in your soul. I think we need to determine which gift or gifts, we could say gifts, we flow in. Because it's a result of faith. It's a result of faith. This is not genie in the bottle stuff. This is not Alibaba open says me, pie in the sky stuff. This is down to earth stuff that we need for today. Amen? But how do we get it? By grace, through faith. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. This is out of the Amplified. This is King James. Ephesians 2, verse 4, King James. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." So just like you can't work your way into heaven. How many understand that? If you've been in this church any time at all, I hope you understand. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can't do enough good things, good deeds, say enough good things, believe enough good things to work your way into heaven. It is a free gift given by Jesus exchanging His life for yours. But you receive that gift of salvation by revelation of the grace operating in your soul. So why would this be any different? You're going to receive the gifts, these gifts of the Spirit by grace operating in your soul through faith. Through faith. Wow. If you will just grab a hold of that. That you can operate in these gifts, in this earth. And it's by grace through faith alone. It's not by how much you study them and how much you read or how many teachers you listen to about the gifts. No, it's by grace. It is by grace. You could walk out of here today, walk into a restaurant, and if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, the Spirit of the Lord say to you, I want you to minister to that waiter right there. Here's what I want you to tell them. That's a word of knowledge. You just operated in one of the gifts. Or you could be going and visiting someone, I don't know, your neighbor or maybe a friend that's in the hospital. And you have your ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and you walk by somebody's room and you have to do a double take because the Spirit of the Lord told you, I want you to go in to that person's room and ask them if you can pray for them. And I want you to lay hands on them. And I will heal them. Guess what? You just operated in one of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? We always thought, or maybe you did, maybe you haven't, that these gifts were reserved for spiritual giants. Or at least the power gifts, you thought. The power gifts. What are you talking about, the power gifts? Well, there's three categories, and we're going to go into that. Because man likes to break things up, right? Just like, you know, how many know that God didn't put verses in the Bible when He inspired the writers to write it down? They came back and did that later. Why? So man could help. It could help man read and parse through it. Well, there's three categories of these gifts. God didn't put them in these categories. Man did. But I'm going to give them to you to help you remember what these gifts are. Amen? We all have, I just read here my note. We all have the ability to operate in any of the given gifts. We all do. Whether you think you're a spiritual giant or not, it's by the grace operating in your soul through faith. So long as we build up the church with them. Right? Not build up ourselves. We don't promote ourselves by these gifts. It's not a self-promotion thing. How many people have you ever heard in your lifetime say, you know, oh, I operate in the gift of healing. Or people call themselves different titles. You know, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. You know, all these things. Well, listen, if you operate in those things, you don't have to tell people that you do it, right? I guess that's... I have to be careful here. What if people just humbly operated in the gifts? They didn't have to tell anybody about it. Tell someone that they are. And listen, this is why I have to be careful. Because I understand that just what we're doing here today. I hope that I'm here to stir you up, right? I want your faith to be increased in some of these things. And I understand why people say things. Because they want to increase people's faith to receive. I understand that. But what if we just went around and humbly operated in these things? And, you know, I mean, you just, I don't know. Went around healing and just went around and saw the oppressed being delivered and the downtrodden set free. And you didn't have to go and shout it from the rooftop. Man, let God shout it from the rooftop. I mean, I'm not too far off, right? I mean, didn't Jesus himself, when he performed a miracle, didn't he himself say, don't go and tell anybody? He did that several times. Don't go and tell anybody. Well, let's get into the gifts. Y'all want to get into the gifts? You want to hear about the gifts? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is going to be out of the Amplified. Verse 1 says, "Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed." I like the King James Version that says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. I want you to understand these gifts. Let's pick it up in verse 7. It says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit." For what? Good and profit. Good and profit. Not for evil. You know, the gospel here has been perverted in ways where, you know, you've got, you can call them whatever you want. I don't know. Witches, whatever. Casting evil spells, all that stuff. It's perverting the gospel. The gospel. The gifts are to be used for good and profit. Amen? Not for evil. Verse 8 says, "To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit, to another wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit, to another the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit." Verse 10, "To another the working of miracles, to another, prophetic insight, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. And to another, the ability to interpret such tongues." All these, verse 11, gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. Each person individually exactly as He chooses. So we can break these nine gifts down into three categories. And again, this is just a way for us to help remember what they are, just like the verses in the Bible. And the three categories are the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the utterance gifts. Revelation, power, utterance. Those three categories. Out of those three categories, guess what? If you're a math major, there are nine gifts. How many in each category? Three, yes. So three, there are three revelation gifts. One is a message of wisdom. The other is a message of knowledge. And the third revelation gift is discerning of spirits. So we have three categories: revelation, power, utterance. In revelation, we have three: wisdom, message of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Why are these called the revelation gifts? Because the Greek word for revelation means to take the cover off or uncover, right? When you give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, you are uncovering or revealing certain details in a person's life. You ever? I don't know why I was watching some of these the other day. They make me giggle. But this is what I use social media for sometimes. Usually it's to spy on all of you all. But when I'm not doing that... I'm just kidding. When I'm not doing that, though, I'm watching funny videos. And ones that get my attention are, one, cat videos. I don't know why. I don't know why, okay? And then the other are gender reveals. I don't know why. I like gender reveals because they're so silly. And they got these ones that where people are just doing crazy stuff. I mean, they had one where they're trying to pull on this box in a tree and the whole thing came down on their head. And then another one, have you seen ones where they've got these balls of powder, I guess, and so once you hit the ball, it's either blue or pink to reveal the gender. And so there was this one. He had a bat, and the wife was throwing the ball, and he was trying to swing it, and when he hit it with the bat, it's going to He couldn't hit it. It took him like 9 times. And everybody's sitting around waiting, right? Like, what is the gender of this baby? And so he finally just threw it up himself. Gender reveals. What was I going with that? Oh, it reveals something. It reveals something about those people, right? It reveals the gender of that baby. Well, that's what these gifts do, that word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It reveals certain things behind a person or with a person. And then we have discerning of spirits. Why is it important to have a discerning of spirits? Well, Ephesians 6 tells us, right? Verse 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. Powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and if you whisper, I can't hear you. Rulers of darkness, see? When you yell it out, I can hear. Powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Why is it important to discern spirits?
Know your adversary.
Know your adversary. I'm not wrestling with you. If you do something to tick me off, it ain't you that I'm wrestling with. You're just falling prey to some... No, not every time. Stop. Moving right along. But sometimes you are being driven. You are submitting to... I'm going to take you out. People are submitting to an evil spirit that is driving them. And we have to understand, we have to discern that so that we don't spin our wheels being mad at an individual for something. No, we get mad at the enemy of their soul and our soul, the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is why we need discerning of spirits in this day. There is an evil out there that wants to destroy you. That wants to take you out of the picture. That doesn't want you operating in these gifts, bringing hope into people's lives, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. There is an enemy that wants to stop that. And we need to be discerning, understanding, knowing what is going on behind the scenes. Listen, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, right? I mean, I don't know if that's how it goes, but there's something operating behind the curtain that you don't see, you don't know, you don't understand, and you're looking at this big ominous figure when it's really happening over here behind the scenes. And we need to be able to discern that. We need to be able to discern spirits that are in operation in this earth in these last days. Because if not, man, you'll be distracted. I'm telling you, you'll be distracted by everything going on and around and people acting stupid. And you know what? You can't help that person if they're acting stupid. You can pray for them and you can wield your authority over the spirit that may be operating in them and through them. I know sometimes you just want to go over and slap them, but that ain't going to help. Discerning. We need to be discerning in these last days. Those are the three revelation gifts. The next three are the power gifts. Revelation, power, utterance. Three revelation gifts, three power gifts. That is the healing gift, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. Gift of faith. Why are they called the power gifts? Why do we give them that title? Because they are dynamic and manifest themselves in the performance of observable acts. Observable acts. Revelation gifts, you know, something's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. usually for someone else or about someone else or in someone else's life. The power gifts come on you in a dynamic way. They manifest themselves and they are observable. Obviously, healing. Observable, right? A miracle. Observable. Faith. We can see faith in operation. It may not be a physical manifestation, but we can see it in operation in someone's life. When someone receives the gift of faith and they believe for something that in their natural mind they could never comprehend. And that may be healing for your own body. It can be two crossed over like that. Or it can be for someone else. Most of the Acts of the Apostles involve the power gifts. The power gifts. Reminds me of that song we used to sing. Wasn't that a song? You can't read my mind? You can't discern? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That's a hymn. Y'all didn't invent that one? You should have. It's pretty good. That's a hymn. Power, wonder-working power. Why is there power in His shed blood? Because after He died, after He shed His blood, He sent the Holy Spirit with power. That's why there's power. Power. He told them, go and wait until you receive power from on high. Well, He had to leave in order to send and for us to receive the Holy Spirit with power. Hence, the power gifts. And again, we'll probably get into each of these in more detail. This is just an introduction. So those are the power gifts. The next three are the utterance gifts. Oh boy. The ones that cause all the trouble. The gift of tongues. The interpretation of tongues. And the gift of prophecy. Why are they the utterance gifts? Because they all involve speaking, duh. They're the utterance gifts. Gift of prophecy is not to be confused with the office of the prophet. It is different. Gift of prophecy is just inspired preaching and teaching. Strong's Concordance says this about prophecy. It says, prophecy, prophesying, the gift of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. Thayer's Lexicon says, discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted. Definitions of prophecy, different from the office of the prophet. Amen? And we all need encouragement through prophecy. And that's not, prophecy is not always foretelling the future. Prophecy is inspired teaching. Prophecy is hopefully what I'm doing right now is up here speaking to stir you up. Right? Just like I share out of Peter all the time. I'm here to stir you up. As long as I am in this tent, in this vessel, I want to stir you up. Because you're the household of faith, and I want to stir you up to go out and stir other people up. You ought to be stirred up. Not in a sense of a constant, not a constant sense of turmoil as in stirred up. That's churned, you know. I don't want to churn you up, I want to stir you up. I want to encourage you. I want to share life with you. Remind you, right? Peter says, hey, I'm just reminding you. These are things that you ought to know because of your own study time, your own time in the Word, your own time with the Lord, your own private prayer closet. things you ought to know. I'm just here to stir them up inside of you. Amen? We all need encouragement. We all need to be stirred up. Through all the gifts, really. For such a time as this. But I believe that it only comes through relationship. Listen, it always goes back to relationship. Your relationship with your Father, your relationship with His Son, your relationship with His Spirit. And you only have relation. Think about your natural friends. You know, which friends are you the closest to and, you know the most about? Well, it's probably the ones that you've spent the most time with. Right? I mean, let me put it this way. Me and Robert can go golfing, and I know he's invited me, and I've said we're going to go someday, and we're going to do it, Robert. We're going to do it one day. And we can go out on the golf course, and we can ride in the same cart, and we can exchange, you know, words and talk about each other's life. But if that's the only time we get together, is that one time? Or even if we do that on a, you know, it may be once a month or once every 6 months or once a year. If that's the only time we get together and talk, I'm not going to know a whole lot about Robert. He's not going to know a whole lot about me. But if I were spending time with him on a regular basis, then we grow closer together. We share more intimate details probably about each other's lives. As we spend more time together, you develop trust with that person. And you share more details about your life. They share more about theirs. Right? Isn't that how it works? It's the same way in the realm of the Spirit. The more time we spend in relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The more time we spend in relationship, the better understanding we'll have of these gifts that operate in our lives. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus went up to the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, guess what? He sent all of Him. And these gifts were given to us for a purpose. Not just to read about them in the book and say, oh, that's cool. Man, I can have a gift of healing, miracles happening. No, not just to read it in a book, but to operate in them in our lives. And how do they operate? By the divine grace operating in your soul through faith. Through faith. It's by faith. By faith. By faith. It's how this whole thing started, right? You received Jesus by faith. You didn't see Him. He didn't come to you. Maybe some of you did. Maybe He came to Him in a, it came to you in a vision or a dream, or maybe He appeared to you physically. I don't know. No one's told me about that in here. I've heard that some people have experienced Him that way. But I didn't. I received Him by faith. Not being able to see Him or touch Him or handle Him, but by faith, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And therefore, I know where my eternal destination is. It's no different with these gifts. We receive these gifts by faith. Amen? It's not something you go out and you touch someone and heal them and then you say, oh, I believe now. No, you have to believe before. Amen? These are the gifts. And like I said when we started out, I believe that they are important for the times that we are in, for such a time as this. And, you know, Esther had her time. Esther turned the destination of an entire group of people by being obedient. I mean, you just have to think of yourself as a modern day Esther. Man, I'm here in this earth right now for such a time as this. I wasn't born when Esther was born. I wasn't born in the Dark Ages. I wasn't born back in Columbus's day and get to sail across the ocean blue with him. No, you were born for such a time as this. And you need to understand that. You have a purpose here and now, right now, in this place, for this time. You are important. I cannot stress that enough. Each and every one of you are so vital to the kingdom of God. Be it in earth as it is in heaven, you have a part to play in that. And I just encourage each one of you, play your part. Play your part. Be directed. Don't be distracted. I understand it's so easy to fall prey to distraction. There are so many things fighting for our time and our attention. So many things. More so now than ever, I think. By God's grace, we can operate in this world and not be of it. And by His grace, we can operate in these gifts for such a time as this, for the purpose that He's placed us here in this earth at this time. I mean, understand, you, each person, you have to understand that for yourself. You have a part to play. And your part is vital, just as vital as mine or anybody else's. Right? You believe that? I mean, really, do you believe that? There's someone sitting here saying, I know what I've done, I know where I've been. There is no way He could use me. That is such a lie from the devil. That is such a lie. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Father, I just thank You that You continue by Your Holy Spirit to stir us up. You continue by Your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into truth, to reveal things to us, to take the cover of what maybe we haven't seen or understood before. You are taking the cover off of that. You are removing the curtain. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You minister to each individual within the sound of my voice today. Let them operate in that gift of faith, understanding how important they are for such a time as this. How important they are. That it's never too late, that there is always hope. And that when it all seems to be crashing around them, that they continue to stand. And when they feel they can't stand anymore, they stand, therefore, as the Scripture says. And as thoughts rise up in their minds saying, I am not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, let them cast those thoughts down immediately. Immediately. and say, no, I am worthy because and by the blood of Jesus. I am made righteous by the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone. And I thank you. And I offer myself. To be used by the Holy Spirit to infiltrate this world and the darkness. To be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope in the darkness. And Holy Spirit, encourage us and edify us and lift us up and help us to know just who we are in Jesus. Help us to understand that. It's time for the cover to be taken off of that. And our authority to be revealed to the world. To the world. And Holy Spirit, help us not to be distracted by all that is going on around us. But help us to be more like Jesus in that boat when the storm was raging around and he was just at peace, asleep in the back of the boat. And it's the peace that we focus in on. Holy Spirit, help us to be at peace during these tumultuous times. Don't think, church, that the tumultuous times are going to end. Don't put your hope in a man, in an election, in a government, in the world. Don't put your hope there. You be at peace no matter what happens. You draw your strength from the Holy One that lives on the inside of you that no one can take away. They can take away your stuff, but they can't take away the one who lives inside of you. They cannot take your peace. They cannot take your joy. They cannot take your love. These are things that you can give away, but they cannot take them from you. So be encouraged today, church. Be encouraged. Knowing that He loves you, He'll never leave you or forsake you. And that you have power on the inside of you. Tremendous power. Amen? Well, I hope you're encouraged today. I hope you can go out and operate in these things in the Word. And we're going to go into more detail about each one. And we're going to, I believe, have practical uses and examples of these gifts in operation. And I pray that you continue to seek God for your purpose, for the plan that He has for your life. Because you're here in this earth. You're here right now. Let's make it count. Amen?